The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I wrote a tweet a day or two ago about Coach Red Pill because he's making it back into the public consciousness as Elon Musk is looking to get out of the Ukraine war. He's trying to dirty soil the reputation of the Ukrainian regime, and then the actions of Gonzalo Lira appear to be pretty much in line with what the America needs right now, since Elon Musk needs to make the case that Ukraine is not the democracy nor the place of freedom that would allow it to have, that would allow us to have a conception of it as part of the West. And the case of Gonzalo Lira is a absolutely beautiful proof. And so I've been reminding myself of how Coach was. Today will be a double show. We will have the regular show, which will not last too long. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we will have the Patreon and Subscribestar Hangout. If you want to join the private hangout, join the Subscribestar at the $20 level. And we'll see you after this regular show. What do we have? Oh, yeah. Governor Tony Evers has introduced a bill that will change state law to replace the word mother with inseminated person. I'm on the fence about this one. The old wording was the husband of the mother at the time of the conception of the child shall be the natural parent, shall be the natural father of a child conceived. But now it's changing to the spouse of the inseminated person at the time of the conception of the child shall be the natural parent of a child conceived. Interesting that women are disappearing from the Democrat lingo. Of course, under Trump, I don't think that this will have much spread. I think you're just going to have a couple of Democrat states continue that kind of stuff. But they are truly disappearing the word woman. Not very clever. John Drake says, how about a nice damage package for coach's family with all the money flying around? Yeah, you could argue that that the sacrifice he has done is much more important than what these employees are doing on the everyday that apparently we can fire without affecting anything from the federal government. Coach Red Pill to me was a YouTuber of a generation that will never be replaced, and a generation that cannot exist these days. Because there was an open-mindedness about being a YouTuber back then that has never been reproduced. Simply because YouTube has cracked down on dissent. They have made too many TOS. And at this point, the people who are newly joining the internet, they are retarded. But back then, it was an early internet. And it was a special place, the internet, where slightly more free minds could interact together. And the people who were rising back then, back in this generation on YouTube, were very quality people. They were open-minded. They were cognitively complex. Coach Red Pill was commenting on a variety of subjects, and it was really a free-for-all, a cognitive free-for-all. And oh my God, was this a wonderful time of YouTube where you had a big channel, they had a big channel, you would end up talking to them. Now at this point, you have collabs and it's like Will Smith goes to stream with XQC. Some celebrity goes to stream with Kay Senat. And what is to be expected from these collabs? These people are all in a tunnel of thought that has been predetermined by YouTube or Twitch or wherever they work, and they can't drift away from it. But back in the days of Coach Red Pill and I rising on YouTube, this was still possible. And so you ended up having a true surprise, a true quality in what you were consuming. And you could be excited at what a thinker would become as he was laying out and shaping his own beliefs. You know, people were learning at the same time as they were doing this, because we were some of the first free commentators that were not owned by a stable of jury, that were not owned by a stable of classical channel TV or the state or any sort of funding. So it was the first time that we could see on the screen what happens if you take someone who's completely free and unleashed and is making his own conclusions, what will happen? That was the time of the era of Coach Red Pill rising. And that was, to me, the most beautiful moment of the internet. I don't think we can ever get something like this back, because the internet then was populated by a special audience. There was a selection. Not all normies had joined the YouTube lifestyle then. So you had to be somewhat special already to just be on the internet and to need YouTube. But now that everyone has joined, you can see the internet is becoming very quick like the old world, a world of controls, a world of everything is set, the things that you would expect happened, there's nothing that happens that's surprising. Landon Guntram says many of those celebs were probably Diddy's clients too. Okay, why do these celebs want to enter the streaming world? I don't fully understand. But yeah, so Coach Red Pill was first and foremost just a guy who wanted to share his thoughts, and he wanted, among other things, to create a video record of his presence on Earth so that his children, who he was incapable of being around apparently, I don't know the details of some maybe family court pursuits against him, but in the end he was interested at creating a video record that would reach them and that would allow him to kind of be the father that he wanted to be. But at the same time, he was an old man, and he was noting that when my children will be teenagers, I'll be 60, maybe 65, I'll be too old to be relevant to them. And he wanted to create this archive of videos that his children would one day grow to watch and to learn from. And there was a very fatherly aspect to Coach Red Pill movies. When he was talking about dating, when he was giving counseling, it was a father talking to his son, really. And then he had called me, as I document in this tweet, he had called me about 2 years before the whole Ukraine stuff happened. And he had told me, JF, I need a change. I'm going to have a radical change in my life. I'm going to change the subjects I cover. I need a change. And that was all he told me. He didn't tell me then that he intended to go to Ukraine, but that's what he did. And then the war started, and he was right there in Kharkiv, or Kharkov, as he called it. He was right there in Kharkiv, and it didn't take time before the Russian line advanced to Kharkiv, which then he took his family out of there, woman and children, but he decided to stay there. I think that his vision was, well, I'm going to see what happens. I want to see what happens. I'm going to be the test subject. I'm going to be a test tube. So what happens to someone freely documenting the war on his side? There, and as I tweeted this, and there ended up having 650K impressions on the tweet, so it's really a relevant thing that people discuss. I've been confronted again with the retards of NAFO, and there's a whole farm of bots and people that appear to be employed to talk for the Ukrainian side, and they still have jobs. There's still money flowing there. I would tell Elon and Trump here, there's still money because it's not natural. It's these people coming back to me and trying to make the case that he was a spy for Russia. That is absolutely ridiculous. That he was revealing the coordinates of AFU personnel to Putin. That is ridiculous. You just take public videos that Coach Red Pill was taking. He was taking public video and commenting on it and saying, hey, look, this and that, and look at their tanks, and we don't have the tanks, and we don't have the right material to win this war. And they're trying to extrapolate this into, oh, well, he was revealing info to the enemy. Bro, Coach Red Pill was taking his videos from public sources, so they were already exposed, your info. And there is no evidence that he was giving privy or special info to the Russian side. If you want public commentary, you're going to have to accept that anything that makes it to the public sphere will be commented on. So those people are trolls of a kind that probably are funded by the money flows of the US to keep social media from having a bad view of Ukraine. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting to see these rats trying still today, because their days are counted. With Trump screwing Zelensky more and more every day, their days are counted. You will no more have infinite flows of money from the US allowing you to get a job just spreading misinfo on Twitter. But they still exist. I've just been confronted by them. There's also a whole bunch of people who say, well, Coach got pneumonia and he was smoking. You don't smoke if you don't want pneumonia. But that's not the point. The point is that even if Coach should have died, even if it was natural death, and it wasn't to the extent that he would have been, if he would have been out of jail, he would have had medical care that would most likely have saved him. You don't die from pneumonia at his age just because you smoke. You die from cancer, from lung cancer, maybe, if it happens, but you don't die from merely pneumonia. So, Coach Red Pill, it doesn't matter to me whether he died from a cause that was initially natural. The fact is he was tortured. And if you're tortured, you're not in a position to recover as well from a medical ailment of any kind. He was tortured. He was in jail for ideological reasons. He was put in jail. They made up a pretext. They made up this whole idea that he was a Russian agent, when in fact he was a free commentator that was just sharing his views, and his views happened to be that, hey, my side will not be able to push back the Russians. So you have two choices. Either you are the bastion of freedom, or you're not. And the problem is the hypocrisy of the West in all this. Sure, you could say, no, we are under a martial regime, and sometimes we get a little bit of liberty, but we're not so much about liberty. And most of the time we are just to follow the dictator, whoever it is. And right now it's Zelensky. If you are open about this, sure. But it is not the propaganda that we've seen on our side. What we've seen on our side is a propaganda of the kind, we are so free. We are so free that we have a trance in our army. We are so free that we are homosexual inclusive. We are the bastion of freedom. And you know what's the why are we fighting? It's because the other side is not for freedom. That's bullshit. And basically the death of Coach Red Pill in jail proves it. Doesn't matter to me whether you can say it was initially natural as a cause of death. The fact is, you shouldn't be dying in a country of freedom. You shouldn't be dying after torture in a jail for commentary. That is it. Something is wrong about the conception of Ukraine as the forefront of Western liberty, and something is wrong about the very idea of Western liberty. It's bullshit. Western liberty, try to claim it just to see what happens to you. You'll get canceled, you'll get pursued, your family will get attacked. Try to actually use your liberty in a way that matters, and you'll see that it doesn't exist. It's really a facade. It's put right there as a smokescreen, and not many people dare to use it. But people like me, people like Coach Red Pill, that's what we do. We test societies, and I believe that Coach Red Pill engaged in a willing mission, not a mission given by someone else to him, but a mission that he decided to take upon his own shoulder, which is we're going to test this principle that, in principle, if I stay on the side of the front line that's for freedom and homosexual inclusivity, I should be safe, right? As a commentator, I should be part of the diversity they want to protect. Of course, it's an autistic kind of test that you know most likely you're not going to survive. But I think it's the decision that he did to prove to everyone, for it to be on the record, hey, it's not true what they say. Animus uprising since 50. And by the way, his position on the war was not very extreme. It wasn't Russian propaganda, as the trolls are trying to make it look like. And they're failing, really, because they're getting flooded by more intelligent people. But they're trying to say it was undermining the moral on the Ukrainian side. Bro, if you need a fucking Chilean American to root for you for your own moral, your system isn't very strong. Your military is being demoralized by a fucking chain smoker on Telegram. Holy shit. They're unbelievable. This idea that he was demoralizing. And like, if you don't have the strength to outlive the critique, just the first layer of critique, really, because that's what he was. His position was not extreme. It wasn't the Russians should eliminate Ukraine. It was merely Ukraine doesn't have what it takes to win this war. And there's no one today who seriously questioned this. In fact, we're headed this week with basically a concession and an abandonment on the side of the U.S., it's basically what the commentariat seems to be accepting at this point. No one is different. This is amazing to me that we're in February 2025 and basically 90% of people believe in their mind, in their heart today, what Coach Red Pill got killed for. Because it's merely the message of Coach Red Pill is, look, we're going to lose. And then, of course, he goes into the technicals and all those tanks and those planes and the numbers and the places and the strategies. But the general message of Coach Red Pill was Ukraine is losing. And here I am at the front line to explain to you why. That was a beautiful, beautiful moment of independent journalism. Animus Uprising sends $15. Thank you so much. He says, it's truly amazing to think of your proximity to CRP during this time. We got to watch in real time the valor of his pursuit of truth in the face of the regime's brutality. No one brought us Coach's story of heroism in that way. It's the stuff of history, and we're grateful you were there to tell it. Well, yes, that's that's how I see my responsibility as a guardian of a relationship that I had with that guy. What can I do? And this is when I wrote this tweet, I really wanted to write it in the spirit of Coach Red Pill. So it's like when I include stuff like the Newlands and the Blinkens, it's not my personal hatred of these people. It's that I remember that Gonzalo Lira had a couple of names that he was critical of and that he wanted us to know that the corruption starts with them. And it was, I remember Victoria Nuland and Anthony Blinkens. So I tried to make myself kind of a channel for Coach, so people can remember his story. I was the last person Gonzalo Lira called before he got arrested and died at the hands of the Ukrainian war regime. He sent me a direct message and we went into a Zoom call. He was in a small room, extremely nervous, smoking one cigarette after the other. I had never seen so directly the mental effect that physical torture and extortion can do to a man. In the previous months, he had been tortured by his Ukrainian guards and amounts in the six figures were illegally taken from him as they forced him to reveal his passwords through physical torture onto his nails and eyes. One of these amounts was the six-figure amount that had been dormant in his Patreon account, which his fans had donated to him across the years. Gonzalo was rich enough that he never needed to withdraw it, but I know it was the pride of his life. The idea that a bunch of regular people thought his commentary was worth enough to pay for when they didn't have to. 2 years before that call, a very intelligent and enlightened version of Gonzalo had called me. He was in the UK then. He had then told me, "JF, I'm about to do something radical, a radical change. I won't tell you what it is, but things are about to change in my life. I'll be covering something different." It's only later that I got to know he had decided to go live in Ukraine with a family he had already established there, and he would then make a stand as a free-thinking commentator as the war raged on, staying at the front line with a clear message. The West is not the side of freedom it claims to be. Little did we know then that things would escalate to the point that his own death would prove that point conclusively. Before he got brought to prison and died, the Gonzalo Lira I was seeing on screen in that Zoom call was not the enlightened man I used to know. It's very hard to explain what torture does to a man, but if I was to summarize it for you, it strips a man of his humanity, and it turns him into a scared, rat-like creature. Shifty, squirrely, looking out the window in nervousness at all times, the man who was capable of delivering such intelligent analysis on this war, the first to call out the impossibility of what Western countries were demanding of Ukraine. Everyone knows today he was right. That man was reduced to a state of constant fear. I did not tell Gonzalo how different he was. I thought the best I could do was to stand there emotionless, a reassuring pillar of autism on which he could hang on to in order to stay afloat mentally. "I'm not calling you for any reason, JF. I just wanted to have someone. I need someone." "So how's everything?" he asked as he was lighting up another cigarette. I knew there was not much I could do for him. I didn't tell him how he could flee the regime or how he should behave. I didn't tell him that everything was going to be okay. I didn't tell him he could survive this. I told him that the sacrifice he had done was the most honorable thing in the history of independent journalism, that his action in standing at the front line of a war while calling the lie that it was based on would remain engraved in history, and that no matter what would happen from there, he had committed to a highly moral path that one day his children would read about. Then, as we ended the call, I said, "Greatest respect to you, Coach. Hopefully the new U.S. administration, with Trump and Elon Musk, ends up understanding his message, that any money sent Ukraine's way is not only a waste, it's an active investment into corruption and death. That the corruption does not lie only on the Ukrainian side, that it lies in the Blinkens and Newlands of our side. And finally, that beyond the people that had to die in the war itself, so many were also just executed politically, with the intent of socially engineering this war. For that last point, the words of Gonzalo Lira. And this was the message that is still pinned on Coach Red Pill's Twitter account. And those are all people who got assassinated by the Zelensky regime. They're all people who got assassinated because they were uncomfortably anti-war to the taste of Zelensky. And when you have that many people, that many ideological opponents dying, you know that it's the money flow of the US is leading to the hiring of all these hitmen. And you know that to make a war, you need to socially engineer it. And sometimes that means getting rid of people. Those are the consequences. When the Congress of America decides we're going to throw billions of dollars at this country, they don't know what happens with the money. And what happens is very often corruption and death. And Coach Red Pill was there to remind us of this and to show it to us live. Yesterday, I offered my services to Elon because a second story of a second baby mama of Elon complaining on Twitter that he's not responding to her messages. This time it's Grimes. She is complaining that she has a medical decision to make with a baby. And she's like, Elon, you've not been answering my messages. Are we doing this? Because there's going to be permanent repercussions for the child if you don't respond now. So she ended up deleting the tweet. I suppose that Elon contacted her. But we have to systematize, and we have to make the whole paternity of Elon Musk more efficient. And as someone was pointing out in the reply section, we have to start the Department of Paternal Efficiency, DOPE. And I suggested myself, I can do this work for free, Elon. Whenever your baby mamas need attention or have questions concerning the babies, they can DM me. I'll be providing full father-like responsivity and swift decision-making. So example answers that I would give. Elon truly loves you and cares about you, but he unfortunately is busy right now. Don't worry about the child's autism. It's not curable. Or if it's filled with pus, cut it out. Elon thanks you for your attention on this matter. Or no, Elon's position is that the child should keep his dick. And so imagine having Papa JF make all of the decisions for these women who are alarmed at not receiving an answer from Elon. I would take care of these children. Absolutely, it would be fantastic. I would take very seriously that job, and my goal would be that the children make it intact and reproductive into their adult years.
But I understand Maine. Is the Maine here, the governor of Maine?
Oh yeah, this is hilarious. Look at this.
Well, are you not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and federal laws.
We are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it, because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply, because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. And enjoy your life after governor, because I don't think you'll be in elected politics. Every state has a responsibility to comply with Title IX. They have an obligation, a legal obligation, and we'll be enforcing aggressively, and we're going to be protecting our citizens. We're going to protect. But I understand Maine.
Amazing to have a president who picks a fight with some state governor. She wants to continue the men in women's sports, the trans athletes. And so we'll see what happens with this. I think that Trump probably has a very good point, and it's like discrimination. And really, it's we already have all sorts of laws protecting against discrimination. But when you're a woman who wants to go into the woman's category, and you see your category being invaded by males, you are being discriminated against, because the whole idea is that you should have a category of sports that is for your sex, and you don't have this anymore in female competition, because there are some people who falsely identify as female. So I think a good case can be made that under even the current law, that it was simply misapplied by Biden, and that under Trump, it's finally being respected, that we don't discriminate against women. I'll be back in a second. I have to sneeze. Adam says we must protect the right for exclusionary categories. Yeah, it's interesting to say under a law that is anti-discriminatory, but how else? I mean, the males who compete with each other, they don't have to live through the invasion of their category by trans males. Because trans males are weaker than them, and so they would never make it into the competition. So in a way, the male, in our society, men have the privilege of a category of sports that is filled with people of their caliber. The whole idea of the woman's category is that this exclusive category allows them to experience the same thing, which is a category of people who are biologically like them. Another restaurant chain goes bankrupt because of diversity. It is quite simple, and we can reveal this now that they are going bankrupt. Hooters was code word for the beauty of the European female's boobs. There, I said it. I've revealed the Hooters secret. It never was about the burger. It always was about... And there was a whole mythology around the beauty of the Hooters girl. There were media articles sometime that were showing that, oh, this girl has had her breast surgery paid for by her manager at Hooters. And it was all participating to one of the last stand for actually appreciating female beauty, actually having beauty be an advantage, be an explicit advantage in the employment process. So when you had Hooters like this, that was not bankrupt. But when you have Hooters like this, and when you are forced, you're really forced, because you have to find bodies that are diverse in an environment of equal opportunity employment for diverse styles of bodies, the code word loses its signal value and becomes a mere artifact of what past societies could do. Provide privileged employment based on meritocracy, including for merit that is unearned, such as beauty. Although I call beauty an unearned merit, and that's because I know there will be people who say, oh, Jeff, how is beauty meritocratic? Well, it is. It is because it's a classification system. Any classification system is meritocratic by some standard. Any system in which you say those are better than those, that is a system that is meritocratic. Now, it may be misguided meritocracy. It may be unearned, but unearned doesn't matter. Because part of the meritocracy, part of what led the meritocracy of Western civilization to work includes features that you haven't worked for, includes features that you just have genetically and you're just born with them and you haven't done any work for it, and yet we want to preserve those features in society, including beauty. Now, also, I would point out that beauty, it may not be so unearned as I can make it out to be. Beauty requires a lot of work. There are women who dedicate their entire lives at just sitting on a couch and concentrating for not to eat so that they can stay super thin. It is very hard. It is actually a lot of work to remain thin. And there are even exercises that they have to do, and they cannot do the two exercises that are too tough because those exercises will make you gain muscle mass and they don't want to look too big. It's quite some work to look like a beautiful thin female. John Drake says, wow, doesn't take a great business mind to see that was going to zero. Yeah, because the Uther stuff, I wasn't even interested in it. I went there once. I wasn't amazed at anything. But yeah, it was already discomfortable for my generation to really put ourselves in the mood of, I'm going to go to a restaurant to see boobs. And there was this discomfort in addition to, not only is this restaurant giving me the boobs service, the boob sighting service, but they're making it so obvious with Hooters logo being a hole with two boobs basically as eyes. And so now I'm looking at an hole that's on a t-shirt, that's on a boob, and the hole is telling me, look at those boobs. And it's like, ah! It's so boomerish, says Nicholas Petris. Yes. It is such a... You can't make this shit up, you know? you cannot give birth to this again in 2025, but that is the world we come from. A world where there were, dancing bars, dancer bars in the villages and places where you go where it's kind of half sexual, cute service woman serving breakfast to truckers, or haircutters that are giving you a massage on the head. There was this whole mix up of part sexual services, and then there were there are the literal prostitute services, like massage salon, where it's not really about the massage. Frog Eyes says, yeah, it's very Al Bundy type of restaurant, a bygone era. Absolutely, absolutely. So it was due to go, and the fact that they couldn't, that they had to diversify their employees has totally ruined them anyways, so... They were headed to go for multiple reasons. Shin Bet has arrested three Israelis, among them Jews, on suspicion of involvement in Tel Aviv bus bomb plantings. So there were some bombs in Tel Aviv, and I believe they're trying to use this as an excuse to crack down on to further bomb Gaza or the West Bank. And people are discussing the potentiality that it's a Israeli false flag. I don't know enough about the situation to make a conclusion. Animus Uprising says, Jeff, what was the most memorable advice you had from Coach? Anything that stood out over the year? My most memorable advice, I remember this every time I think of Coach. But it's not memorable for the right reasons. It's just terribly bad advice. But I'm so happy I didn't follow it. And it's advice that Coach gave me in private. But Coach, you know, was this kind of guy. One of the things you have to remember about Coach, I don't want to elevate it to a sanctified status of perfection. Coach was a deeply imperfect man who was totally beside the track on certain calls. And that's what was funny with the early internet is, okay, I'd rather have a guy that's beside the track because he truly believes in something, but it turns out to be wrong, than a guy who's sped to be wrong and who's being manipulated and as a proxy to manipulate us. So the most memorable advice that coach gave me was somewhere in 2018, I don't know, 2019, somewhere. He said, Jeff, this coach was a social guy, so I'm autistic. I don't care about calling coach. But coach, every month, every 3-6 months, he would decide to call me. And he would, and then we talked of general normie stuff, you know, non-autistic stuff. And then at the end of the call, he says, Jeff, let me tell you right now, sell all of your Bitcoin. It's going to zero. Sell all of your Bitcoin right now. You're going to thank me for it later. It's not working. It's a scam. You're not going to make money. You're going to lose everything, JF. And there he is telling me, before Bitcoin did 10x, to get rid of all my Bitcoin. An absolutely stupid advice. And I was like, okay, coach. And, you know, I loved getting rid of him. I loved, because, you know, I just have a limit of my friendship with human beings. And I can never truly be a friend to a human being. So I'm like, how do I get rid of this fucking guy in my Zoom call? So I'm like, okay, coach, I will seriously consider now. He says, how much money do you have in Bitcoin? It's dramatic. You're going to lose it all. I was like, don't worry, coach. I have something like the worth of an ice cream cone. Like, I can't tell you the exact amount, but it's like the worth of a McDonald's meal. That's approximately what I have in Bitcoin. He was like, oh, okay, phew, because I thought you had a massive amount of money in this. And I was like, oh, no, I just have, like, in the range of $5, $10. Meanwhile, I had all that I ever had, and all of my assets were in Bitcoin. And I'm like, oh, yeah, don't worry, I don't keep that much Bitcoin. It's such a small amount. Whether I lose it or not, it's okay. And yeah, it turned out to be very, very bad advice because Bitcoin went 10x since, and in fact, twice. It went 10x and then 10x again. And wow, what a bad advice. Another set of advices that were bizarre from Trump is from Gonzalo Lira was to not have sex with women who are under 25, to never have a relationship with a woman under 25 because they don't know where they're headed. And I'm like, you know, I think you can find an under 25 that will be malleable and that will be malleable to your purpose. You know, there are massive issues also with the other older women who are, they are already set in their ways and they will stubbornly pursue anything that comes in conflict with you. Frog Eyes says, JF, the hamburger maximalist measures his net worth in Big Mac meal. Magister Templi says, people are dumb. My father said to me earlier, nights are getting longer, bud. Lol, lol. Zero advice from him. No, I've known a girl who was obsessed with the idea that the sun was different. JF, the sun is different. It's not when we were young. Ariel Suarez says, I think he said no relationship with a woman over 25. If I remember correctly, it was no relationship under 25 because he was saying they don't know where they're headed and they don't know enough about the world. All right, we have Steve Bannon. What the fuck is this?
The only way that they win is we retreat, and we're not going to retreat. We're not going to surrender. We're not going to quit. Fight, fight, fight.
This is so forced and obvious. This is not an accident. This is not... what are they doing, Elon Musk and him? And what are people doing when they do Nazi salutes
like
this?
We're not going to quit. Fight, fight, fight!
I mean, it seems so soft. It's like, oh, I'm hesitating, but yeah, let's do it. Fight, fight, fight. I don't know. What is this? Is it that they just know it's going to cause some chattering and some media coverage, so they go for it? It feels like stolen valor to me, because you're not really a Nazi. And so it's like, what is this? I don't know. Is it he's becoming old, cognitively dissonant? Is he trying to actually acquire the Nazi base, because at this point it's all there is? I don't know, but it feels like these people are late. They're late on a Jewish critical wave, and they're trying to acquire some, to let it be heard that, oh, maybe we are in a revolution of the kind that was pushed by Adolf Hitler. Maybe we're kind of Hitlerish. But the people who do this is not JF, is not Richard Spencer, is Steve Bannon and Elon Musk. They don't fit there. To the contrary, their message is very hostile to white nationalism. So I don't get it. What is happening? In any case, the CPAC... There was a French guy scheduled to talk at CPAC, and he said he had to cancel because of the Nazi salute of Steve Bannon. Bannon is kind of a weird offshoot of these years of Trump. It's not clear to me what he is. He will tell you a populist, but what does that even mean? I'm not sure. Magister Temple says, think he just doesn't understand that days get longer after Christmas. Low info voter, you could say. Okay, that's what leads your father to have an opinion on the length of the day. But anyways, let me go take a 10-15 minute break, and we will be in the Patreon Subscribestar Hangout in 15 minutes from now. If you want to join the private hangout, join the Subscribestar at the $20 level. We have our monthly hangout, generally between the 10th and the 20th, but it's getting later and later in the month these days. So join us tonight in 15 minutes from now. Go check your Subscribestar or Patreon page to find the link. Animus Uprising sends $25. Thank you so much. He says, here's one more for Coach. Even as a flawed man, I still think if there was any justice in this world, the Zelensky regime would be brought to justice for CRP's murder, and a statue would be brought up in his memory. Hope Coach is resting in peace. Shine on you, crazy diamond. Absolutely. One thing that would be absolutely beautiful is in a future in which we are collaborating with Russia, in a future where we don't have to constantly treat Russia as an enemy, but instead we can think of growing together with Russia. There's so much raw material in Russia. There's no way we can't benefit from a good relationship with Russia. We can buy their material. We can buy their energy. And I imagine a future in which a statue of Gonzalo Lira would stand right there in Kharkiv as the man who was right at the front line and who wanted nothing else but peace. And ultimately, this is what he's gonna get. In a way, it's fascinating how a dead man can still win. because Gonzalo Lira one day inevitably will have what he wanted. I don't know what form it will take. Will it take a full integration of Russia and America as partners in the way we see it's headed under Trump? Or will it be in even an appeasement between Europe and Russia? But if you look at Russia's development in Moscow, it's totally integrated to Europe. Look at the road networks. Moscow is a part of Europe, and humanly, it's a part of Europe, even if you want to argue that continentally, it's not. It is, to me, the same development when you look at all these cities in Europe and eventually in Eastern Europe, and you see all of their roads. Eventually, you just have Moscow right there, just on the border of European cities. So I think that would absolutely be a good thing to have a CRP statue. And I'm willing to participate to the work of art, because I have drawn a hand-drawn representation of Coach Red Pill's face many years ago. I've published it on my Twitter if you want to see it. Bye-bye, everyone, and join me in 10 minutes for the Patreon Subscribestar Hangout for the $20 level contributors. Bye-bye.